When was the last time that you shared a meal with a stranger? Invited a neighbor that perhaps you hadn't known previously over for a meal or for a drink? I'm not sure that it's really something that we do very often. It's really, I think, radically outside of our comfort zones. Even if the individual only lives two or three doors down, we often don't know who that neighbor is. We tend to keep to ourselves and our established circle of friends. It takes time to build the confidence and trust in a relationship before we come and share a meal. I think the closest that I have gotten to sharing a meal with a stranger is while I've been hiking. A little similar to the walk that those two followers of Jesus took to Emmaus. I was hiking in Scotland, the West Highland Way, and over the course of 6 days, I sat down for meals with many of my fellow hikers. I didn't buy them their dinner, and they didn't buy me mine. But we sat with one another, bonding over that common experience. Today we heard from the end of Luke's Gospel, a story referred to as the road to Emmaus. Two followers of Jesus, they're not disciples, they're not one of the disciples, but they're two followers. They're just outside that inner circle. They're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which Luke tells us is some 6 miles from Jerusalem. Modern scholars, they don't really know where Emmaus is today, probably because modern Jerusalem has sprawled and it's probably now within the boundary of what is modern-day Jerusalem. But they come across Jesus, but are prevented from knowing it is him. They talk about the week's events, surprised when Jesus asks about what's been happening. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know, they ask. And then Jesus opens all of Scripture to them as it concerns the Messiah. But they still don't recognize that it is Jesus. And they arrive at Emmaus, and the hour is late, and Jesus indicates that he's going to continue traveling. But the two travelers, they do something really rather remarkable. They say to Jesus, don't travel on, it's late. Instead, stay with us, join us for a meal. It is an act of remarkable generosity and hospitality. And it invokes everything that they must have known and understood about Jesus. Though they don't recognize Jesus, they are clearly familiar with him and his ministry. Perhaps they were among the 5,000 who were fed on that hillside that day. Well, today we continue talking about the stained glass windows that are here in the sanctuary. And it's fitting that just the order of the way I'm going through the windows and the start date of this sermon series, that the window we deal with today is a communion story on World Communion Sunday. I didn't plan it that way. I just sort of looked at the calendar as I put all the windows down and said, well, that works. That's fitting. I don't even have to manipulate the windows. That's great. And the words on the window, they state, he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Communion is one of the ways that we allow God to come close to us and how we are able to approach God. It, along with baptism, is one of our two sacraments. A simple table, a simple meal. And here in the story of the road to Emmaus, we hear that Jesus was made known to these two followers in the breaking of bread. That through this simple meal we partake in, we hope and pray that we might also have Jesus made known to us. Now this passage, which comes near the end of Luke's Gospel, it tells us a lot about Jesus and his earliest followers. And there are some things that are really evident from this passage, and there's a few other things that you sort of have to dig a little deeper for. Two of those things that are really evident are that, well, Jesus is found in the breaking of bread, known and understood through the sacrament of communion. And second, that by searching through Scripture, and when Jesus explains what all of Scripture says about the Messiah, he's of course referring to the Old Testament, because there are no Gospels yet. There is no New Testament which has been written. So only by going back and understanding the law of the ancient Israelites, the law that Jesus manifests in his person, and only by understanding the words of the prophets, can we fully understand and appreciate Jesus within the world that received him. And there are other parts of this story of the road to Emmaus that teach us things that aren't so evident. And one of those things is that belief in Jesus as the risen Lord was not self-evident to the earliest followers. Did you pick up on what those followers of Jesus said when they were talking about the week's events and who Jesus was? They said, "This man was a prophet and was considered by God and by all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did." They don't say that he is the Son of God. They don't say that he is the risen Lord. They don't even say that he's the Messiah. And so that's an interesting insight into some of the earliest followers of Jesus in those first early days, what they must have been thinking. It took divine revelation for them to believe. Now, it's hard for us to put ourselves in the shoes of those early followers of Jesus. I mean, to be sure, their faith and their devotion, it changed the world. But Luke makes it clear that there was much doubt and uncertainty in those early days. The Good News translation, which Diana read this morning, it tells us that somehow they didn't recognize Jesus. But most other translations translate that sentence as they were prevented from recognizing him. And that tells us that Jesus deliberately preventing them from knowing who he was at that time. And it might seem like an odd thing for Jesus to do, maybe even cruel. However, I think it was necessary for Jesus to explain to those two followers the true reason why he came, what the Messiah, in fact, did come to do, because it's not what they describe. It's not what they describe in there, because they believe that he was going to set us free from the Romans. And Jesus unpacks Scripture from them and says, no, that's actually not why the Messiah came. They needed all the Scripture to be revealed to them. Only then could they appreciate and understand the magnitude of who Jesus was. Only then could they comprehend how and why Jesus was alive, that he was indeed the risen Lord. Another thing we learn is that it's through the sacraments that others can come to Christ. And that's why this table is open to all people. Not just those who claim to know and follow Jesus, but all are welcome because Christ welcomed all. Professor Arlen Hultgren writes, "This is also a story about movement. It contains at least 9 verbs describing movement. The two men are going. Jesus came near and then went with them. They came near Emmaus. Jesus walked ahead of them. He went in to stay with them. He vanished from their sight, and they got up and returned to Jerusalem." And some of the verbs tell us of movements made by Jesus, and others tell us of movements made by those two men. Either way, both Jesus and his followers, they're always on the move. But it's not movement for movement's sake. The moves being made have a purpose, and that is to tell the story of Jesus, to interpret it, to have fellowship, communion with Jesus and others, and to share it, all of it, with others. And that is what it means to be the church. If you pay attention to Luke's gospel, you note that Luke likes to take us on road trips. Mary and Joseph, way back at the beginning, they take a trip to Bethlehem, where Jesus is born, where we meet Jesus for the first time. And then later, Jesus will set his eyes to Jerusalem, and he'll travel there to die. In Acts, also written by Luke, Paul will travel to Damascus, and that is where he has his conversion experience. And here at the end of Luke's gospel, two followers of Jesus are also on the move. They're traveling to Emmaus. We don't know why, but they're traveling there when they meet the risen Christ. There is something dangerous about being on the move as a Christian. It takes us places, leads us onwards. We go on journeys. And we know that our journey of faith isn't a static thing. We don't stay still in our faith. We learn, we grow, we question, we move. Jesus moves us. Moves us in our hearts and in our minds. Compels us to move forward. Encourages us to ask hard questions, which we hope might cause others to move. Today, this passage, it does feature a great deal of movement. Movement in the physical sense of travel, and movement as two followers of Jesus grow in understanding. Professor Eric Barreto asks, I wonder what we think is the most characteristic activity of Jesus. When we imagine Jesus, what is he doing? Take a moment and think on that. When we imagine Jesus, what is he doing? For many, he continues, he is on the cross. For many, he may be preaching to a crowd. For many, he may be healing the sick with the touch of his hands. And for many, he may be enthroned at the right hand of God. But for Luke, it seems to be that Jesus is around the table. If you think back through Luke's gospel of all the meals and feasts that Jesus attends, meals with Pharisees, meals with Mary and Martha, meals with tax collectors and sinners, meals with disciples, the meal that we have today, bread and wine. In all of these instances, hearts are moved, people are changed. And the act of hospitality performed by those two followers of Jesus, it is also moved. It's turned on its head when Jesus breaks bread. In that moment that Jesus provides that blessing and breaks the bread, he goes from being the guest to the host. Jesus at that moment then becomes the one who is offering grace and hospitality. And at that moment, Jesus is the one being generous. And as I look at these windows and I think about this sacrament of communion, and I think about the people who came before us, who worshipped in this sanctuary before us, who decided what windows would go up, they clearly believed that this meal, that this sacrament was important because they put it up on a window, not once but twice. Two different stories, two different instances of when Jesus broke bread. One with his disciples the night before he died, and one, the story we heard today, with two of his followers when he was risen. And so this is a meal that draws us in closer in relationship to God. It moves us. It takes us from where we are and brings us somewhere else, closer to God. So in a few moments, we will partake of this simple meal. And I pray that in the breaking of bread, Jesus will be made known to all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.